So hello everyone, welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. We are here for the latest episode of Turning Towards Life, which is an episode happening under special conditions. We're usually live on a Sunday morning, but this is a recorded episode that we're doing because, Lizzie, you may want to say something about this, may not be able to be with us every week over the coming weeks, and we want to make sure that Turning Towards Life continues to happen. So this is our little stock of emergency recordings. We are so glad if you're joining us maybe for the first time. If you're with us on our podcast, you're on YouTube, not live this week, but we are normally live every Sunday morning at 9 on Facebook. And we're really pleased to be doing this.
Yes, thank you everybody for your understanding. So the chances are, if this is being broadcast, I'm in the throes of something huge, which is having a baby. So I did message everybody on our Facebook group, but you might be listening on our podcast and you might not know that I am currently, as I'm recording this, very heavily pregnant. And we think that the kind of continuity that we have in Turning Towards Life is really important. So we're just going to have these in our back pocket just in case it's difficult for me to get onto a call, onto a broadcast. And we wanted just to keep that continuation going. So we're putting a few of these in a special little bag that Justin can whip out in my absence so that we keep this thing going that we've determinedly and dedicatedly kept on with for these last 2 years. So this week we are bringing this source, which is a little set of guidelines for listening and what Eric Fromm calls unselfish understanding. And I found them because I can't remember, I think I was in one of my kind of weekly digests that I get in my email, and I love Eric Fromm's work and always feel very kind of somehow turned inside out by it. And for me, the process of listening and the refinement of our listening seems like such a deep underpinning of what it means to be in relationship with others and what it means to really be contactful with other human beings and ourselves as well. So this is our source by Eric Fromm. So I'm going to give this a read. There are 6 guidelines that he brings us. So the first little part of the paragraph says, drawing on his half-century practice as a therapist, Eric Fromm offers 6 such guidelines for mastering the art of unselfish understanding. Number 1, the basic rule for practicing this art is the complete concentration of the listener. Nothing of importance must be on his mind. He must be optimally free from anxiety as well as from greed. Number 3, he must possess a freely working imagination, which is sufficiently concrete to be expressed in words. Number 4, he must be endowed with a capacity for empathy with another person and strong enough to feel the experience of the other as if it were his own. Number 5, the condition for such empathy is a crucial facet of the capacity for love. To understand another means to love him, not in the erotic sense, but in the sense of reaching out to him and of overcoming the fear of losing oneself. And number 6, understanding and loving are inseparable. If they are separate, it is a cerebral process, and the door to essential understanding remains closed.
I'm just trying to unmute myself here. I've got myself muted, and I'm unmuting. What a beautiful source. So I'm going to read it too. 6 guidelines for mastering the art of unselfish understanding. Number 1, the basic rule for practicing this art is the complete concentration of the listener. Number 2, nothing of importance must be on his mind. He must be optimally free from anxiety as well as from greed. Number 3, he must possess a freely working imagination which is sufficiently concrete to be expressed in words. Number 4, He must be endowed with a capacity for empathy with another person, and strong enough to feel the experience of the other as if it were his own. Number 5, the condition for such empathy is a crucial facet of the capacity for love. To understand another means to love him, not in the erotic sense, but in the sense of reaching out to him and of overcoming the fear of losing oneself. Number 6, understanding and loving are inseparable. If they're separate, it is a cerebral process and the door to essential understanding remains closed.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful thing to hear that and to read it myself and to wonder at each of the points. And in a way, each of these guidelines is a huge big teaching, really. And I feel the bit that stands out to me, Justin, at the beginning is what it feels like to really listen and to be free of one's own agenda. Like to risk what it means to be with you and to not be calculating the next thing I'm going to say or something, but trusting what might arise more than what I might prepare, and letting that aliveness be here rather than wondering what I'm going to say before I'm going to say it at the expense of even hearing what you say.
I'm really struck by that too, Lizzie. I was the word in here that touched me most strongly was greed. I'm very pleased that Eric Fromm was willing to write in this very direct way and point out to us that so often what we're doing when we're listening is primarily a way of getting something satisfied in ourselves. So of course, the most obvious form of that, one of the most intense forms of that is exactly what you just said, which is where I'm listening to you mostly so that I can fill up whatever it is that I'm going to say. And it's amazing. I was with a group, working with a group of people who work very closely together quite recently, a few weeks ago, and I was sitting in with them in a meeting. And these are people who really care about one another and what they're up to. And what they came to a realization was, and I'm talking about them because I'm really talking about all of us, which was that for years they had been listening in that way. Listening so that I can speak, and usually listening simply so that I can speak and discharge my own sense of anxiety about being clever or being right or being together or being certain or all of those kind of things. So when we listen in that way, we listen in a way in order to perform for others. It's a performative way of listening. What a thing it was for them to see that the way in which they thought they had been listening for so long wasn't really listening at all. And how this had incapacitated them in so many ways, both in meeting one another, but also in being able to take care of some things that they really cared about. There was an enormous amount of mutual care in it. And I think we do this so much of the time. And where it comes from, and this is why I am loving Eric Fromm's work here, is a big part of where it comes from is it comes from us being in the inside of our anxiety and greed without realizing that that's what we're on the inside of. Like when we're had by it and it's kind of invisible in the background. And it's why it's such a bold invitation in this source for him to say that listening and love are the same thing. Because it's only when we begin to relate to another from the inside of love that we can set aside the narcissistic parts of this, that I'll feel safe and that I won't feel overwhelmed and that I'll know what to do. that we can even begin to set those aside. And isn't a thing, Lizzie, I mean, this it seems to me, how we can go through a whole life with even the people we care most about and not ever having listened this way.
It's really massive. And I, as you were talking, I got this kind of, you know, that feeling when you're in a conversation and you feel like you're kind of ships in the night with someone. And that kind of reciprocity and flow is simply not there because you're both standing in the place that you're standing rather than standing in one another's shoes and then finding what the mixture looks like of both of who you are and what you have to say. And it also kind of makes me think that, you know, maybe love is also made of, or being loving is made of this kind of reciprocity. So he speaks about love and understanding being inseparable. And to weave ourselves together through listening is such a different orientation to, well, this is my opinion and this is what I think, and let's kind of play tennis or something and bat ideas back and forth to one another. And this kind of listening, as you say, can totally evade us. And I really enjoy as well the invitation to look at the way we're anxious might be influencing the way that we can or can't listen. So to be free from anxiety to the degree that I can listen to you, you know, what does that mean? And depending on the closeness of the relationship, the nature of the relationship, the circumstance that we're in, our kind of worry or anxiety or feeling unsettled will be different. And I know, Justin, in so much of our work, we're working always to settle and to find a way of working with the body and the nervous system so that we can be the kind of expandedness, the kind of openness that can listen. And so I'm at the moment also just really appreciating what kind of body it's necessary to have in order to be able to understand someone, which is a kind of odd thing. You know, we think understanding is like an intellectual, oh yes, I understand this. But if we can't be present in our bodies, if we can't work with our nervous systems to settle and really receive ourselves and another, it seems to me that the possibility of listening gets further and further away. And I'm just feeling the link between understanding and the body, which I have never found immediately obvious until reading this. Because I have this notion of my head being the thing that understands. And it feels like the invitation out of the cerebralness of thinking and understanding in the way that we might have been taught by our culture or whatever. It just feels like an invitation into orienting a very different way and to receive one another through our nervous systems, through our being together, has something wholly different arise than if I were to just intellectually try and get what you were saying or something.
It's a fabulous inquiry that you've brought us into, Lizzie, the relationship between the body and listening. And a couple of thoughts are occurring to me. One is to wonder about what kind of life of practice we need to live in order to have a chance of doing this. But for most of us, it's not just going to come because I say, Lizzie, I'm listening to you from love in this sense. I'm reaching out to you and overcoming the fear of losing myself. I can say all of those things, but our skillfulness in doing it may not be the kind of skillfulness that many of us are working on. And it seems to me that I can, of course, talk about my own experience, is how the habitual thing to do, the easy thing to do, is to be triggered by all the different things I'm feeling, and then to mostly be working to not feel things that I don't want to feel when I'm listening to you. And I think that might be what Eric Fromm means about overcoming the fear of losing oneself, or being free from anxiety as well as greed. It can't be as simple as not feeling stuff. But how much of the time, when you and I are talking, for example, is what's really going on is that there's words going to and fro, and then within each of us, there's the risk of, or the possibility of, trying to manage things. So I'm managing my experience so I won't feel too upset or too anything. And I'm managing my image so I look smart, or I look attentive, or I look loving, or whatever way I want to, I look powerful or intimate, or whatever way I'm wanting to project myself both to you and to myself. This is even before we've got into the dynamic that you were talking about earlier about, and I'm waiting for the thing to say, listening to you to find the thing to say. All of these are ways in which what I'm doing when I listen to you that way is I'm working to keep myself within a very particular, familiar kind of bounds of experience and sense of myself, which I think is probably one way of talking about the fear of losing myself. If I listen to you from my fear of losing myself, what I have to do is I have to keep on making moves to maintain myself in particular ways. And then there's a very real way in which what I'm not doing is being open to being impacted by what it is that you say, to being affected by what you say. What you say might shock me, or enliven me, or move me, or change me, or surprise me, and all the time that I'm trying to make sure that these things happen, I'm closing myself off to the breadth and depth of what's coming from your whole way of speaking, which I think is another, might be another way of talking about what it is for the body to be involved. The beautiful thing about the word understanding is that it's got stand in it, and to stand is a bodily activity. And in a way, what we're talking about here is where we might stand when we listen to one another. What are we standing in? What are we standing on? And how much is our whole listening an attempt to defend something rather than an opportunity to be in that infinitely rich encounter that really might change us?
It strikes me, as you're talking, Justin, it takes so much trust to stand in that place of not knowing what's happening in one way. And this part that Eric Fromm asks us about, which is the freely working imagination that can be expressed in words. I felt that point for me is a really strong part. And I experienced that in myself as a way I've been practicing. For me, that's a practice, is to find a way of articulating my imagination, to find a way of trusting myself that I have words that can articulate a world or a whatever's being conjured in the relationship, in order that we can be in conversation with one another. And when I reflect on that, I realize it takes so much trust. You know, you and I in this practice now are finding our way through this topic of what listening is. And, you know, as we say to everybody multiple times, you know, we don't prepare this. We have a source, we have a kind of trigger point, if you like a springboard from which we jump into these conversations, and we don't know what we're going to say. And I experience it as a very trusting practice where it's unpredictable. I don't know what you're going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say from minute to minute. And I trust that what you say and the way I listen will provoke part of my imagination, and then I get to put words to that. But it's a very rare way of operating in the world, I think. And, you know, the way that we're taught to prepare, the way that we're taught to have everything sorted out, the way that we're taught to present, even the way that we're taught to share information. It's a really marginal practice to sit and share in this way with one another, into each other's imaginations, and to trust my reaching into yours somehow and your reaching into mine somehow brings something. And I think so far, this experiment that we're in of bringing these conversations, really cool stuff gets born when we trust. And I listen back to us when I'm feeling terrible about something or anxious or feeling like the sheet of doom has just crashed over me and I can't really find a life raft. And I listen to us and I think, oh, there I am. Like I can feel myself again. And it returns me to some kind of center. And so even this isn't really, in one way, like me and you having a conversation, that there's something being born here because of the speaking that's not you and it's not me and it's of us, which anyone can connect into, including us, when we're feeling like we need some support or recentering or finding our feet again somehow. And so I'm just struck by the magic of what happens when we listen to one another, and that we can be present to one another, and what gets born between us in the relationship, in the conversation, because of the quality of the listening that we have, and that can be helpful to literally anybody if it has a kind of quality of opening and a quality of curiosity and a quality of mutual respect and really understanding what each other's saying. And I find that really amazing as a resource for myself. And, that's what this whole thing, this whole turning towards life is about. So this listening part is such a big prerequisite for the whole deal that we're in as human beings and in this little thing called turning towards life as well.
And so what's going on for me as you're speaking, and I'm wondering from where to come at what I'm going to say, that the immediate part of it is to notice. It seems to me that when we speak to one another, in those times when we get to really listen in the way that Eric Fromm is inviting us to, what we're listening to, in a way, is something that's in between. Because I'm listening to you, Lizzie, but I'm also simultaneously listening to what's arising in me, which is not separate from what I'm hearing from you. I'm including my own experience of listening to you in my listening, doing my best not to push it away, doing my best not to perform, doing my best not to present a particular kind of face, but more letting myself be drawn in your way and our way so that I can be open to you. Which is why it seems to me you just began what you were talking about by noticing this part where Eric Fromm says we need a freely working imagination which we can express in words, that to listen is to speak. We need to be able to speak in order to be able to listen. But not to speak in all the ways we've been talking about, to protect myself or to look a particular way or to make myself feel all right or all those kind of things. But it also seems to me that the kind of imagination that really helps us to have is to be able to be inclusive of our experience whilst we talk. So one of the things that I've been noticing, one of the things that's going on for me, and I don't know how this will sound when we record, when we listen to the recording of this conversation, is that I'm sitting in a place that is far from the ideal I would like. There's background music on, and I couldn't find somewhere today where, you'll know this, Lizzie, because you're in on this with us, that we're doing our professional coaching course today, and I'm trying to find a place that I can see this background music. And I'm aware that when I hear the music, there's a part of me that rises up in wanting to make it go away and wanting other people not to hear it and wanting to not to get distracted and all those kind of things. And actually just noticing that and putting words to it. Oh, here I am with Lizzie and this is happening, is part of my reaching out to you so that I can listen to you, is to be explicit about the experience. The other thing that's happening is, as we're settling into this, is I'm finding myself drawn into your orbit so that my attention is more and more directing, taking a stand of openness towards you, in which whatever else is going on folds into the background. And it's almost like the stand I'm finding myself more able to take is on the inside of the bounds of our conversation rather than on the outside of it. Instead of standing in the midst of my own anxiety, I'm standing in the midst of our togetherness. And when I speak from there and listen from there, it seems to me that that's when we start to get a glimpse of the kind of depth of understanding that it's possible to have between people that we so often miss, that we're so often so far away from.
Yeah, that's really beautiful, Justin. I really appreciate your talking about listening from the inside of your experience and how that's not separate from being with me and being in the environment that you're in, and likewise with me. Like, my mum just came in, I think she's asking me to go to dinner in a subtle kind of way, and that's there as well, and I'm listening there, and then the children are shouting at each other up the stairs, and you know, all kinds of things are going on. And I feel like that kind of not trying to exclude everything really also helps, you know, just to include as much as we can and trust that we can handle the inclusion of it. It's a bit like being in a meditation and the meditation teacher saying, include that plane that's just flown over, rather than it needs to be gone because I'm meditating here. But we can include, and we have the capacity to include. Justin, I'm just looking at our time, and I don't know, it feels like we could carry this conversation on for hours. It seems like, you know, each of these points Eric Fromm brings us are so significant, and I think we have a lot to say on all of this. But given our broadly half an hour rule, I think it's time for us to end. But I so appreciate the underpinningness of this conversation. And again, we could bring back the source, couldn't we? And we could talk about it entirely differently each time. But I just want to appreciate how this kind of organic getting bornness happens in these conversations. And I really appreciate this one. And everybody, thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening. And we will be seeing you in another week's time. And just thank you for being with us in this community, and for probably, I'm imagining, really practicing all of this whilst you're listening to us, and whilst you're also in your communities and with all the humans that you share this world with. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. I definitely think it's time to end, because I can hear people ringing on the doorbell, Lizzie, at your end of things. At least that's how it sounds to me. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. You can head over to turningtowards.life to find the source and all of our other recordings as well. And we'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone.